Welcome to The Conversion Show, a podcast that's all about, you guessed it, conversions. Everything that gets you to your goal, whether that's purchase, lead capture, app install, content downloads, chat engagement, or demo requests, we're talking conversions. Hosted by Eric Christensen, CEO and co-founder of leading conversion optimization platform, JustUno. On The Conversion Show, Eric sits down with industry-leading marketers, e-commerce growth experts, founders, and entrepreneurs to chat all things conversion marketing. Be sure to follow The Conversion Show podcast to be notified when a new episode goes live. Like what you hear? Leave us some love with a review. And now, here's your host, Eric Christensen.
Today on The Conversion Show, I'm happy to welcome Sarah Stockdale, CEO and founder of Growth Class. So before we do the full intros, I just want to say that the reason Jane mentioned Sarah, I looked at her profile website and LinkedIn. I was like, perfect. This is exactly what we want to talk about. Today, we're going to be talking about conversion copy. Critical for both your offsite campaigns, but today we're going to talk specifically what you need to be doing on your website and opportunities to increase the customer experience. You know, what we're really elevating to talk about when we talk about conversions is truly the customer experience. Customer obsessed businesses and websites are the ones that are going to win out in 2023. And we're talking tactics there. So I'd like to welcome Sarah and we'll kick off here. So Sarah's joining us from Toronto and Grow Class. So real quickly, would you throw out to everyone your background with Grow Class and what you're doing today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working in growth my entire career. I started at a company called Wave, which was at the time a small 18-person Toronto-based startup, and was recently in 2017 or 2018 was acquired by H&R Block, and one of the largest Canadian exits of all time. So got to have a very fun trip with a lot of very smart people, then moved on to working at another financial technology company, but focused on college students and payments called Tilt, which was acquired by Airbnb around the same time. So I took a little bit of a sabbatical, because that's what you do after you've been through the startup roller coaster a couple of times, started a consultancy, started helping Series B stage companies here in Toronto. And one of the things that came up over and over and over again was a lack of talent and growth, a lack of diverse talent. And that was something that I've always cared deeply about, as being, you know, one of the only women on a lot of teams, and having a background in growth that I was self-taught, because it wasn't really a thing that you could go and learn anywhere. So we built a janky Squarespace site. We wrote out our idea that we wanted to build this intensive growth marketing course and experience and community, and sold it out in 48 hours before we had touched anything. So we pivoted the agency, shut it down, and went full on in building a course and community specifically to help people learn growth marketing and connect to incredible growth marketers and founders. So that's what we would do full time. We brought it online in 2020, and we've been doing that globally ever since. So that's the Coles Notes version.
Now, everyone's going to get some free lessons today, is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And well, congrats. We're so fortunate to have you here today. And so let's get into it. Let's talk conversion copy. And, you know, it's so funny as we look at, you know, this concept of messaging your customer. You know, I myself in the past, you know, year, we've been looking at work from Donald Miller and Dave Gerhart. Donald Miller is a story brand. Dave Gerhart worked with Ben at Privy to really refine their message. And, you know, being customer obsessed, it's all about understanding your customer.
Yes.
And oftentimes we speak to the customer versus like understand how we should talk to them. So you had a recent post which falls on LinkedIn, which falls directly in line. If anyone doesn't follow Sarah, go to Sarah Stockdale on LinkedIn. Great very active on there, some solid insights. You had the post on, which I think will be a great way to kick this conversation off, where you had Canada's best weighted blanket from, was it Gravid Blanket? And it spoke to me because the title of their ad was Canada's best weighted blanket, no need to count sheep, like Gravid Blanket, do the heavy lifting, shop cyber sale. Okay. Sarah went in and did a makeover and it immediately spoke to me. Scrolling when you wish you were sleeping. It's like, oh, it's such a better way to think about that. Because like, you're saying, I understand what you're going through right now. And let me guide you to a better sleep. And so as that concept of guiding our customers, what I'd like to shift to today is not the offsite, but the onsite experience, where when we're working with clients, we're realizing personalizing the website experience is still very complicated. And very few websites are doing that. They're treating every single website visitor the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've identified these key areas that we can at least start segmenting these visitor experiences and speaking to them in a key way. And as we look at what are some key areas, it's about understanding what the customer cares about. Yeah. And what we've broken it down further to is, well, we know what they care about because Amazon has built it. Amazon has been customer obsessed from day one. Jeff Bezos is from day one fought for the customer experience and invested back into the customer. So as we're working with retailers right now, we're trying to help them understand how can they be speaking to their consumers on their site. And it can also be what they're saying in their ads, but when they land on from their ad, we reinforce that language on the site. So one example would be shipping remains the number one reason people abandon carts. Mm-hmm. And Amazon's figured that out. They know, they communicate shipping timelines, they ship the product next day. I'm setting up kind of a concept here and I'm talking a lot, so I'm gonna pause real quick. How does that settle in with your everything you've been working towards with this conversion copy? Can you share your take from the offsite and what you're seeing on the insight onsite experience?
Yeah, I think like the simplest way that I would educate folks or just talk about how to write copy that centers your customer and talks about their pain is, a lot of the time brands think of themselves as the protagonist. Like, you're talking about your company or your agency or your features. Going back to the Gravid Blanket example, Canada's best weighted blanket, very much, you know, we're talking about ourselves. We're bragging or boasting or trying to make you think that we're impressive. And there's a place for that. It shouldn't be in your headline copy on your website. The headline copy on the website needs to center your customer. So if you think about, the Wizard of Oz, a lot of people write like they're Dorothy, and you need to be writing as Glinda. You need to be the good witch who's waving the magic wand, who's solving a problem for the protagonist, who is your customer. So when they land on the website, the first thing that I would say is, you can only talk to one person. And when we start to be able to segment and have these personalized experiences on site, then maybe you can speak to a couple of different demographics if you have really good tracking and data on who those people are and where they're coming from. But if you're talking about just like a single landing page on your website, your single homepage, you have to choose. You have to choose who you're talking to, and you have to have a direct conversation with that person. So that looks like second person narration. So we're saying you, so you notice like sleeping while you were scrolling, second person narration. I'm having a conversation with one person. I've chosen the restless sleeper. I've chosen one demographic to have that conversation with, and I've identified the probable reason why they're there, because they are anxious and need to sleep better. And calling that out in that headline and then solving that problem. Think of, you know, back to the Glinda the Good Witch. You are stating the problem and then waving your magic wand and solving it or making their experience or life easier in some way. And that is your only job. You don't have to be impressive or interesting or cool. All you have to do is solve that problem.
While going through these exercises ourselves internally, I look at LinkedIn in a completely different manner now. I look at posts and I immediately separate them into one of two categories. Are you bragging about your company? Mm-hmm. Or are you talking about helping your customers?
Yes.
And if you start looking at LinkedIn, you'll be like, oh, I don't care about your company. I don't care that you did this. I don't care that you've done that. Like, how are you helping me?
Yes.
And this guide, Dorothy, I love how you have your own personal guide.
You become Yoda. Like, you don't get to be Luke.
Yeah.
You don't get to be the cool and the most important person in the story. Your customer is the most important person. You get to be the guide, the helper, the, you know, ruby red slippers that take them home. You get to be the tool, or the helpful force, but you aren't the center of that narrative.
What's your advice? You know, as I say, even internally, we've been working through this. What's your advice to your clients on sticking to this and kind of setting up? You mentioned that the restless sleeper was one segment. You know, is it building your profiles and then making, you know, clear, like you mentioned, you always use, you know, speak to them versus mm-hmm. speak at them. What's the kind of basic structure?
Yeah, I would say if you can't sit down, so we have this exercise in our conversion copywriting course. It's a bit of like an ad libs. So I'm always, what I would say to a client is like, what's keeping your customer up at 3 a.m. that has something to do with your product? What are they worried about? What are you solving for them? And if you can't answer some of these basic questions about your customer, before we're writing anything, we are doing customer research. We're not sitting in a boardroom and coming up with personas that we're going to like write on Bristol board and stick up somewhere in the office for everyone to see. We're having real conversations with actual people who you've solved a problem for. We're figuring out what language they use to describe that problem, not what you think or the buzzwords that you've made up to describe your product category, but like, what did they actually type into Google to try to find you? And what was the feeling that they got when they had that problem solved? Is it relief? Are you solving overwhelm? Like, what is the emotion attached to the solution to that problem? And a lot of the time, especially when you're talking about software, people aren't interested in like this feelings talk. They're like, you know, we're interested in quantitative data. And I'm like, that's really cool. People don't buy things because you told them about features. People buy things because you communicated with a part of them that needed something. So
the story, a lot of what we've been touching on is, what is the story of your brand? And how do you make it clear, one, you understand why they're there?
Yeah.
And you understand, you know, other notes I'm taking, you know, is, you know, as you look internally, why are you losing as a business? Why are you losing out to competitors, i.e. Amazon? What are they offering? What are the needs they're fulfilling to your potential customer? Why do people shop a brand directly and then open a new tab and go to Amazon? Mm-hmm. Communicating to the consumer, we understand you want this package fast. We understand you want a good price. We understand you want your selections important, which is obviously getting very granular to mm-hmm. the shopping experience. Mm-hmm. The exercise, I like the ad lib. Do you have a public ad lib sample that you share?
I have it in, let me see if I can grab it really quickly. I have it in a talk that I give quite often, but it's the beginning of it anyway that I can tell you off the top of my head is like, it's 3 a.m. and you are what? And you're feeling adjective, like what are like, mm-hmm. and then you go through a little bit of that like moment in the life of your customer where they're experiencing this problem. And if you can't fill that out with confidence, like after talking to customers, after having a lot of these conversations, then you have to go back to the drawing board in terms of, I need to go have 10, 15 minute customer conversations before I get to write anything.
The customer conversations, you like, what does it mean to be a customer obsessed company?
Yeah.
You know, it's this talking with customers, engaging with them, you know, whether it's in any capacity, how can you build your shopping experience and your product experience around them if you're not connecting with them? Yeah. And that is part goes into the, what are you communicating to your own customers on their site? It was a conversation we had yesterday of like, people want to, how do you build trust with a brand? Well, you tell the story of the brand. If you're this blanket, if it's someone that says, you know, you read about the story and it's like, I'm the founder, I'm a total insomniac, and I, through experimentation over years, I came to find that having a weighted blanket helped me sleep. It's like, oh, okay. But making sure that story is written and accessible on the site is something that is part of this creative marketing. Like when we talk about demand gen and how to grow your company at scale without much cost, it's understanding what resonates and what will be shared out, and also like build that trust, increase conversions, and allow that people then to talk about your brand and your product. It's like giving them those talking points to share out. That's, you know, you look at great speakers, Steve Jobs, his presentations, they purposely wrote them so that he would say something and you would see that headline in the, used as a headline in the news. So they pre-wrote it all, so it was easy to digest and share out. With that said, you know, as we talk about conversion copy, are you, you know, with your clients, is that a strategy that resonates?
So one of the things, so at Grow Class, we do kind of two things. One is the education side. So we have students and cohorts that we work with to teach how to do these things. And then the other side is services, working with brands to actually do these copy audits and fix this stuff for them.
Yeah.
Especially when you're so in the weeds, like it's hard to come up and see. I was just on a call right before this with a student for Grow Class, who is this incredible lockable furniture company. And it took us an hour to come up with the headline that she'd been trying to come up with for years. So it's sometimes you really just need someone who's on the outside, who's done a lot of writing, who can spar with you a bit and help you get to that conclusion.
Can we dig into that example? Because I love working with real life examples that people are dealing with today.
I don't maybe have permission to do that one.
Okay.
That I could get quickly, but
how about a hypothetical?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Do you have something like do you have something that's going on in your world that you're trying to write for that we could do as a little bit of a,
I mean, you could tear Justuno apart, but we're SaaS, which we can do.
That's
we
okay.
We could look at, I have a good test site we could look at as well, a retail one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So what's awesome is similar to Toby at Shopify, we encourage our staff to have e-commerce websites.
Oh, I love that.
So that, you know, they themselves are working through it. And Travis has an awesome, well, I think it's awesome. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to do a live teardown here. And we have expert Sarah talking conversion copy. So if we pull up Beatrice, which is a beautifully designed gauges, custom gauges for Audis. What's our experience here?
Okay. So I'll be totally honest with you. I am not the target market for this product, but this is interesting. So finally, an aftermarket system that doesn't look aftermarket. So my guess is that this is some sort of like insider baseball language. I don't know what any of this means, which that could be fine. Like that could be absolutely fine if I'm the right consumer for this. But what I would say here is we're getting into, so we've got beautifully designed gauges, which isn't isn't a terrible headline. We could probably give it a little bit of love. So my guess is that someone landing on this page is someone who wants everything custom, who wants everything to look a very specific way for their own aesthetic. So you could easily move this into some you copy with something like, you want your car to look, you know, beautifully different than, you know, every other Audi on the market. I am the wrong customer for this.
Yeah.
But
we have done it. You have to understand their business, understand their customers and what their needs are. So if this website is like the questions we should be asking versus providing an answer is, who are you speaking to and does it solve that? And I don't think people want beautifully designed gauges. They probably want gauges that tell them the information they really need to know, maybe.
Yeah. Like what is, so my question to the founder of this company or whoever's responsible for the marketing is, what is the problem that this is solving? So beautifully designed gauges is a product or more of a feature than anything. What is the, and there's three kinds of copy that we can write, right? The first kind is the most important. And I would say if you are trying to convert, if you are trying to increase your conversion rates, you want painkiller copy. So you want to identify what the problem is, tease a little bit of that tension, like identify what the problem is, put the customer into the moment that they experience the problem, and then solve it for them. That is the most useful, helpful formula that you can just leverage to make your copy convert better.
I think that gets us down the path here of what is Sarah's formula?
Yeah, so my formula for something like this, for anything, is if it's not clear, so something like beautifully designed gauges, to me, it's not immediately clear what the problem that's solving. So it might be more of a vitamin product or what I would call an ecstasy product. So something that is helping improve your experience or making your experience incredibly delightful. When you see the word magic, that's ecstasy copy. It usually doesn't convert as well. Okay. So what I would want to do is get into the head of this person. Like, why are they landing here? They've got a little bit of finally copy, which I appreciate. I don't necessarily know if this like aftermarket thing, like I don't think I understand the product well enough to know if that's good copy or not, but finally is kind of a nice, it's at least a nice device to use to figure out if it's actually a finally moment for that customer. Like, are they arriving at something that is solving a problem for them that they're like, oh, thank goodness I found you. I finally feel like someone understands my problem and I finally feel like I'm not alone anymore. Sometimes people use finally in situations that it doesn't make sense. So like, finally, a beautiful gauge. I don't know. I don't know for sure. Maybe.
So there's negative words. There's words that should always be off the list.
I don't think so. So like the thing is, the problem with human nature is negative copy tends to perform better. Our brains are wired to scan for threat. That is part of our biological systems design. So getting someone's attention with hyper positive copy is usually a lot harder than getting folks' attention with realistic and or problem solving or problem identifying and then solving copy. So what I would say in terms of just a general rule is if you're looking at your website and you can't tell what the problem is, like you're reading your copy and you can't immediately identify what the problem you're solving is, that's a huge opportunity for you to go back and say, let's take this. So for example, I did a rewrite for Peloton. Peloton doesn't sound like a problem company, right? They sound like a delightful exercise company. But on their website, they have something that it's like, you know, on bike, motivation, off bike magic. And that's the headline. That's ecstasy copy. and it's fine. They obviously are doing something right, but what is the actual pain that that product is solving, and how do you tease that pain in that copy? So, I rewrote it to say, you know, never have to see the inside of a sweaty gym bathroom again. Like you
in the moment you're in a sweaty gym bathroom, you're like, oh, this is gross. I wish I could do this at home
again. And like you place your customer back in that moment when they were like the most uncomfortable, by the problem that they're experiencing. So for me, I remember the gym that I went to before the pandemic had this like turf floor that would get moist and like, just like putting my hands on it to do pushups. And like, it was always wet. And so why do I want to work out at home to avoid, you know, the experience of feeling uncomfortable in an environment because it doesn't feel clean. So that is something that you could easily pinpoint as, you know, why do this at home? Come up with all of the user pain points and then identify the one that's most likely or comes up most often and use that as your copy.
Okay. Painkiller copy. The other is I've seen is where you may sell the dream, the guide, but then you reinforce right below it what's at risk if you don't follow through. Like,
yeah, I do think there's something powerful about painting a picture for someone. And especially if, like for us with Grow Class, it's like a lot of the time the risk of not investing in your own education and your own personal growth is that you're the same place you are now in 3 months. So it's not a super scary story. It's just, you probably don't want to be exactly where you are right now in 3 months or in 6 months or in a year. So
it just made me scared.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But no, it's a growth risk. It's a time risk. So there's that piece that I think is that you called out that's really important. And then another thing that you can be really smart about, similar to what you just said, is what are the objections that someone has to purchase and what are you doing about them on page? Because a lot of the time people are dealing with their objections in support or in FAQs. Most people aren't ending up in your support or their FAQs, they're just bouncing. So you as the marketer or the founder, the conversion copywriter, you're responsible for resolving those objections on that page.
Something we probably can't get into on this podcast, but I want to do is I want to have a growth class. So we have templates from all of our partners in our platform.
Yeah.
I want to have a growth class promotion, like multiple promotions with your copy. Because people overlook, you know, we talk about A/B testing buttons. It's like, yeah, I want someone to come to me and go, hey, what should my button say?
Yeah.
You know, like accept offer, claim, you know, enter email, like submit.
Mm-hmm.
Those little tiny copies and even the copies of the promotion, like this is the thing about the on-site experience. It's so overlooked.
Yeah.
So much effort is spent on the offsite marketing.
Yeah.
Whether it's paid ads, everything, whether it's email marketing, email automation, workflows, everything. There's so much effort on that offsite experience. The onsite gets a fraction of that love.
Yeah.
And absolutely, that's what we're working towards is, hey, let's carry this in throughout the site experience. And when it comes to promotions, they're still very stale. It still is like, would you like 15% off?
Yeah. Like there's so many cool ways that you can do button copy really well and really intelligently. Like, and it doesn't have to be buy now. Like buy now is so, you're asking for such a huge commitment just to press that button. Like, I don't know if I'm ready to buy yet. I want to see the pricing page. But like if the pricing page is gated by a buy now button, I'm probably never going to go there because I'm not ready. You haven't given me everything I need to make that mental commitment to actually press the button that you're, or claim 15% off. Like, it's a little better, but it's still not, It's not identifying with something that the person is actually feeling or thinking.
And it goes into that message of like, why are they there? They're there, you know, why do people buy Amazon? Mm-hmm. Price, selection, speed.
Yeah.
You know, if the message more is like, hey, we're going to guarantee you're going to get a deal today. Yeah. or, you know, we're going to guarantee we're going to get this product to you, you know, even better. If you see that you're in, I'm in California. We know that we can say, hey, you're in California. We're going to not only get you, we can get you this product next day. We can get it to you for free. And we're going to provide you with the best price.
Yeah.
Keep shopping.
Yeah.
Which brings up Toronto. Guess what? Talk about customer experience, geo-targeting. It's not, you don't just, when you're in Toronto, you don't just buy from American retailer. The payments systems are different. The shipping systems are different. Tariffs. I don't even know where tariffs are these days. That process.
It's a surprising thing. And every time it's a shitty experience or a crappy experience.
Shitty experience. And so that's what we're doing. We're just trying to create. We're literally the last 2 months, we've been building this list of all of the shitty experiences people have online and trying to prioritize them and then work with our partners, because the MarTech stacks are so deep now that digital marketers manage. Like the ones mm-hmm. when you get on the phone with a digital marketer, what you start, and I'm curious what you think, is when you start talking with them, it's like, yeah, but then I'm managing the shipping app, I'm managing this app. And then like halfway through talking to them, they're like, oh yeah, I also take care of that. Oh, I do wholesale too for the back end of the website. It's like digital marketers are stretched so thin these days.
Yeah.
And now we're asking them to be copywriter experts. You know, it's like yeah. Back in the day at advertising, my first two jobs were interns at an advertising agency. And I was blown away that there's people whose job title was copywriter.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had the best job. They just kicked back and like they never seemed stressed. They just would, you know, get their things done. But it's so critical, communicating. So I can't put you on the spot. I don't think so. We kind of ran through what the promotional copy should be. Unless you have any immediate ideas, everyone should stay tuned for we're going to make this happen in terms of the perfect pop-up. And we say pop-up, there's so much more to it. You mentioned we started talking about communicating the experiences. Is there's so many important things to communicate. How do you prioritize to someone that just landed on your website?
Yeah, I think it's like, I would say it's not about you or what you care about that person doing. So, and this goes for email marketing, this goes for ads. Everyone says emails because they have a sale or they have a feature or they have something they want to talk about. You don't get to communicate with your customer unless you can tell me the value is you're providing to them that day. And why is it urgent that you get in their inbox with that piece of value? So you always have to be reframing. We have this new feature. I want to tell them about the new feature, or I have this new product. I want to tell them about the new product. Like, why would they give a shit at all about that? And once you can answer that question, you can write an incredible sales email and it's going to convert so much better. You can write an incredible sales page. It's going to convert that much better, but you have to think about who is this person? What is their experience? What do they need? How do I, like, you're asking for a few seconds of someone's time, someone's life. You have to earn it as a really good marketer. You have to earn it with your copy. You have to earn it with your customer focus. You have to earn it with having an incredible product that solves their problem.
Is there any language you recommend to communicate trust?
It's hard to communicate trust. You normally have to, so instead of saying you can trust us, you have to prove it. So you have to bring your receipts. So what I would say is, like, you have, so on the Just Do Know website, you've got the Vitamin Shop, Golf, Volcom. This is, you're communicating trust to me there. You're providing me receipts of businesses that use you and are having a good experience. Testimonials are trust. One of the things that I found, we were talking about button copy a minute ago. One of the things that I find really helpful with button copy is the micro copy underneath the button that says how many people signed up today, because that is another indicator of trust.
I want to do number of people have redeemed this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So how many people have shopped the sale? People don't want to be the first.
No.
And by not being the first and by you saying, you know, 3,100 people have signed up today, you're not saying trust us. You're saying 3,100 people trust us. And that's a very different way of communicating the same thing. Because when I say you should trust me, Eric, you're like, oh, you're hiding something. Like, this, well, why would you ask me that? That's a very strange thing. But if I said, these are my clients, these are the testimonials, the receipts that I bring. And, you know, I'm really privileged to be able to do this work with these incredible people. I don't have to say, trust me. All I'm indicating is that these other credible people trust me.
Yeah. And in e-commerce, like reviews, making sure the number of reviews are in the forefront. In SaaS, it's like Captera reviews or you name it, making sure that that social proof is up there. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say the credibility extends beyond your website, because you have to remember you're also competing with everything that shows up when you Google the brand. So how did you start a TikTok account and then abandon it and it's got 10 followers? Now we're the bank account of trust is going up and down, right? So the way in which your brand appears on all these other platforms also has to indicate the same amount of credibility that you're promising on your website.
What's your, as we talk about, you know, as visitors come into websites, segmenting them, you mentioned TikTok. If someone discovers a brand on TikTok, especially with like your scrolling blanket idea, like, you know, we have young kids and it's like, you know, you're up at 3 a.m. scrolling and you're like, let's say you're scrolling Instagram and I bought a back roller, the 3-1. And now they're having your ability to buy one touch through these social platforms, but you want validation. And so you go to the website to validate. Really reproducing that experience, whatever platform they're coming from, whether it be a banner saying, hey, you know, so happy you came over from TikTok, you saw this video maybe, or, you know, like that walking them through it so that you've identified and let them know that, hey, you're not just any visitor, you know, we understand who you are and why you're here.
I would caution a little bit against the, we know that you watched this video or we know that you came from TikTok, because I think, again, the trust thing, right? Yeah. You're like, whoa, you're tracking me, which everyone knows that they're being tracked on a, you know, on a cognitive level, but like calling it out might feel concerning in the moment. So doing that in a really intelligent way, I think, would be what are the key messages that we're using on these platforms? Making sure those appear on the website too. Like making sure that is an experience that isn't, the last thing you want anyone to ever do is be like shocked or confused. Like you want it to be a congruent experience from platform to platform.
I feel like I'm back in high school and college knowing that I'm just a horrible writer and always looking for help. And so I think it's fantastic to know that these digital marketers looking to maybe solve this so they can leverage Growth Class to do that. Yeah. I, to be honest, can you, and I don't mean to pitch Growth Class, but this is something that's really important for our digital marketers. What is the process if someone is like literally running through what we're doing internally? Because we've done it ourselves and it's just so, it doesn't, we haven't delivered 100% because we have so many different things going on. Is that process like?
So there's kind of one of two ways that you can, there's three ways you can engage with Grow Class. The first one is we have a full certification course. If you've got a marketing team who's going through, teasing out these problems, trying to figure out how to rewrite the website, rewrite the emails, put together the ad strategy. So we have what I would say is like a best in class digital marketing course experience, where not only do they come in and they learn these tools, but we do tear ups. So we'll all get on the call with the cohort. We'll all provide feedback and we'll rewrite and tear up websites and email funnels in real time so that people can apply what they've learned directly and get kind of some immediate results from that. So there's the practical learning experience, and then we work with select clients to do this for them. So if you're a kind of medium to larger business and you're overwhelmed with the idea of doing this writing, we'll take that off your plate. We will ask you a lot of questions. We will make sure we are so well read about your customer that we're writing in their voice and we're writing in your voice, but we will take a lot of the pain of actually doing the wordsmithing around it away from you and give that back to you on a silver platter.
So as we build out our conversion experience in 2023, this is exciting because there's certain elements that you may or may not touch, which is the entire personalization messaging. Maybe we could find a client. So anyone's a client that's listening, reach out to me, because maybe we can work out a special deal where we three of us can work together and build in this component of personalized messaging around promotions, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's that. Okay. So we're about 45 minutes ish. And, you know, everyone's attention span is probably reaching that point. You know, I think the main thing here is the copy. Mm-hmm. And thinking, you know, we don't, when we roll things out, people know about this stuff, but we really need a guide to help us understand this. So definitely check out Growth Class for more inspiration as we look through, you know, as you're working through this problem. Placing the customer back in the moment. I think for me, I'm going to move forward with that one with us. Like, okay, think about that pain problem. And are we speaking to that? Or are we trying to just talk about ourselves?
Fair.
Any takeaway notes for you?
No, I think the only thing that I would say is, you know, if you are a company who's solving a real problem for someone, the way in which you tell that story to them is a little bit of like the make or break moment and whether or not they're going to click and to buy and to convert. And a lot of the time people think about copy is like, oh, we're going to A/B test it. We're going to, you know, figure out, we're just going to kind of hack our way through it and figure something out. And you can, it's going to take a long time. And the easiest way to do that is to get really close to your customer and learn how they speak. And then speak in their voice instead of trying to have a, you know, punny, kitschy, fun voice of your own.
Well, it's respecting that there's a theory behind it.
Yeah.
You can, if you really spend the time to understand the foundational process you should be following, you theoretically shouldn't have to A/B test.
Yeah.
And
you still can, and you still always should be experimenting and testing, but from a place of confidence that you're at least close.
Yeah. I mean, my brain's just teeming right now with what I want. I can't wait to roll out like three different promotions with the essence of Growth Class and Sarah Stockdale in it.
Oh, sweet. I'm so excited to see them.
Super excited about that. So we're going to follow up on that. Sarah Stockdale, founder, CEO of Growth Class. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.